Ian Schur is editor-at-large at CNET.com. He joins us to talk tech. Ian, how are you?
I'm just thinking about when a man loves a woman with Black Sabbath.
Yeah, I know. It's a little strange. It's one of the weirder headlines I've read over the past couple of days. So, Ian, tell everybody about CNET.
Yeah, so CNET is the world's largest tech news site. We are also a review site. We review pretty much every major technology device you can imagine under the sun. And we really try to talk about how tech is going to impact your lives. And that is the conversation that everyone's having these days, from Capitol Hill to in our homes. So it's a really good place to work, and I've been loving writing about all this stuff.
Yeah, no, CNET.com is great, and it keeps you up to date on everything. And we have you on usually about once a month, Ian, to talk tech and some of the big tech stories, right?
Yeah.
All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Ian Schur is with us. And so let's talk about this. Cashierless checkouts, that's become a big thing now. And Amazon is going to be selling that to other retailers?
Yeah, it's an interesting idea. So I don't know if you've had the experience of going into one of these Amazon Go stores. They're really fascinating. So you download an app onto your phone, and then you sign in with your Amazon account, of course. And what you do is you walk in the store after scanning a barcode on the entry area, and then you're able to grab anything you want. So I went in once, I grabbed a cookie, and then I looked around and thought, I'm gonna be the one guy who makes the machine work wrong. But I what you do is you literally take whatever you want, and then you walk out of the store, and it'll automatically charge you. And sure enough, they charged me a ridiculous amount of money for that cookie, and it did taste okay. But that's how their technology works. And it's a bunch of sensors and cameras, and they say they're now going to start selling it all over the place. So hopefully, sometime soon, Safeway or Aldi or Trader Joe's or Take Your Pick will start using it too.
So it's such a kind of a, you know, it's weird. I don't know why I find it weird to just walk in, take stuff, and leave.
It's everything. I mean, it's against everything we've ever been taught.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like, you know, I mean, literally, I remember when I was a kid and I was scolded for accidentally stealing a grape. Like, this is just what is completely foreign to us. And what I think is great is that this is kind of the promise of the future. I remember when, like a decade ago, I think it was IBM had these ads where someone would go in who looked like he was stealing stuff. He was in the store putting stuff in his pockets and everything, and then he walks out and someone stops him and, "Hey, sir," and then suddenly turns around and, "You forgot your receipt," right? And the machine automatically checked him out. And that's the future. And it's almost like we're nearly there. And I think that's pretty cool.
No, it is cool. It's just it's something you got to get used to, because I'm, you know,
oh, yeah,
the regular way of purchasing things in a store. You know, I mean, that's been tapped into our heads for so many years. It's going to be very hard to just go, "Oh yeah, I can walk in, walk out, grab stuff, and just leave."
Well, and also people who don't want to use credit cards or who are on WIC or a bunch of other things may be impacted by this. And I'm really curious to see how this all changes. You know, it works great in downtown San Francisco, where you've got a bunch of rich techies with their Amazon Prime accounts and walking in, walking out. That's normal for them. But for people who are not living that kind of lifestyle, and this technology goes everywhere, how are they going to make sure that everyone feels like they're going to feel comfortable with this? And
yeah,
Never mind the privacy and everything else. I'm really curious to see how this works as it proliferates further, because certainly Safeway, Aldi, Giant, they all have a very large variety of people they serve, not just the tech elite. And that's where this technology may struggle.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, Amazon just has, I mean, they're just going to make so much money. I mean, they already run the world. So.
It feels like it sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Crazy.
Okay. All right. Ian Schur is with us. Ian is from CNET.com. We're talking tech. We got some more tech stories. If you guys have questions or comments, it's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. More tech talk.
Sunshine, baby, whenever you smile, but I call you Stormy today. All of a
here on a late Monday, and we'll get into Tuesday morning here. 312-981-7200, the Skyline Studio is where we are. Jim Ryan, our good friend, music and entertainment writer for Forbes, Daily Herald, Chicago Now. He'll join us to talk about some of the shows that he's seen recently and some of the things he's been writing about. We'll play a little music trivia as well. Ian Schur is joining us right now, editor-at-large at CNET.com, and we're talking some tech stories. Ian, we were talking about how the Amazon store, you can just go in and not have to actually go to a cash register or anything like that. Just get an item and walk out. And Tom, you said there's Amazon. Tom Hush is my producer. You said that there's an Amazon store down the street from here.
Yeah, right down the street, next to like the architectural center or whatever, where they do all the tours and everything like that. There's an Amazon Go store that you can go into if you've got the app, scan in, grab your sandwich, your chips, your Coke, and leave. And it's a very odd experience.
It is. Ian, have you done it?
I have. I got a overly expensive cookie from
them. Oh, right.
You said
you got a cookie, yeah.
It tasted okay.
Yeah.
it felt weird walking in and out. But they also, you can return stuff to the Amazon Go stores, too. So if you buy stuff on Amazon that you want to return, they'll take it right there, which makes a lot of sense.
Wow.
So I ended up actually visiting the Amazon Go store quite a bit when I was nearby it. And it's pretty cool. But I'll tell you, they had to hire someone to sit in front just to explain to people how to use the app because they were so confused when they first walked in.
I bet. No. I bet. It's gonna take a while for people to get used to this kind of thing. And by the way, a listener texted in, will this do away with shoplifting?
It could. Unless someone decides to jump over the turnstiles and then run and grab stuff and run out. I mean, the shoplifters will always find a way. But it is going to certainly change one thing that happens a lot. I used to work retail, and this idea of shrink by accident, where the person checking out doesn't remember to scan everything, especially, sometimes if you've got something at the bottom of the cart or it's hidden accidentally underneath the baby stuff that's in the cart with you. All those types of things happen all the time. And I remember talking to one grocer who told me that for every apple that gets stolen or lost, he has to sell 3 more to make up for it. And so this type of stuff could really help with those types of issues. Not so much maybe with shoplifters who really are determined.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, I worked at a grocery store for many, many years, and I've seen everything that you're saying right there is absolutely true in terms of like shrinkage and things like that. So maybe this will help out. Who knows?
Hopefully.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk a little more tech here. Another story here out of CNET is that there are some true wireless earbuds that look like AirPods Pro but cost $30. Tell us about this.
Yeah. So obviously you're not getting a $250 quality sound out of them, but these devices called Tautronics, which we have a link to on CNET, of course, are supposed to be pretty good. One of our reviewers really liked them, and he said, look, for $30, you're getting actually a pretty good device. Now, what's different about them more than anything is that the AirPods Pro use a thing called active noise canceling. That means they're using a microphone to listen to the sound outside. Let's say you're in an airplane. It actually listens to the noise of the airplane, and then what it does is it actually filters that out and finds a way to kind of combat it in your ear so the sound goes away. And then you're able to listen to whatever else you want to listen to. This is not that, right? What this uses instead is called noise isolation, where they basically create a physical seal in your ear, which is not as good, but it does the job, and it'll allow you to hear a lot of the music a little better. And like I said, the reviewers like it. A lot of the commenters on CNET said they like it, so why not?
Wow, it's only $30 too.
Yeah, $30, right? Who's going to hurt? Now, the one thing I will point out also, if you're an Apple user, is that they do not have that magical Apple chip in them that the AirPods and the and some of the other devices have, where they automatically will sync to your computer or your iPad or your iPhone, and you just click a button, and your headphones will work with one or the other. These are normal Bluetooth headphones, so you have to deal with pairing them and unpairing them and switching them before and all that stuff. That's the annoying stuff, but, you know, Apple's got their thing. If you want to pay them for that, that's great. And if you don't, this is a pretty good alternative.
And Tautronics, are they a big company?
You know, the funny part I find as I – and I look, I read – by the way, this came from Rick Broida, who is our cheapskate. I don't know if you know, but we have a blog that we put out and a daily email, if you want, where we round up the best – deals around the web, and Rick is really good at finding some of those deals. But one of the things I found watching his emails every day is that there's a lot of device companies out there that you may never have heard of that are actually pretty large and particularly popular in places like Amazon. So Tautronics is one of those examples. There's other ones like Anker and Monoprice and a bunch of these other companies that if you're not in the know about people who are kind of hunting for deals online or looking for specific products, you may never have heard of them because they don't have normal retail presence in Best Buy and whatnot, but they're pretty popular.
Wow, that's interesting. I love that you have that you call him the cheapskate guy.
You know, I when I first saw it, I said, "Really?" But he really leans into it. He has a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, and finds deals on that. Well, that's really great. I mean, there's you know, everybody wants to save money, you know.
Yeah, and the thing that I think is really good is that we're not just putting up a list of all the deals out there. We're actually trying to find the best ones that we can find and stuff that we ourselves would want to buy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it kind of helps you to have that nerdy uncle or whatever, or aunt or whomever, it's kind of next to you saying, yeah, that's a pretty cool device. I would get that.
Yeah.
Instead of just getting something cheap, which a lot of people do, and then they're unhappy.
Now, you know, when you're reviewing these things, Ian, how many people grab these items and look at them, and how long do you have them to review? You know, when you
want to. It depends on the devices, right? Some devices we get, you know, a week, months to work with them. Other times it can be very little time at all, and it really depends on what our review is, when we want to run it, and stuff like that. So, for example, you know, there's this really cool thing called the grill gun, where it lights up your grill in seconds, and it looks like it's so fun. That device they had quite a while to play with, whereas something like the next iPhone or a Samsung device, you only usually get a week before you put up your first review. But when we constantly update and we tell people what's new, what's changing, what our impressions are. You know, with the iPhone, we said how we felt after 3 months of using it, because a lot of times these things change, right?
Yeah.
A week is not enough to tell you. So it really depends, but that's part of why I love the work that we do, is that it's really involved, and we want to make sure that we're helping you figure out the best choices you can make instead of just saying, oh, yeah, go buy that, whatever.
Yeah. Ian Schur is with us. It's Nick DiGilio show on 720 WGN, editor-at-large for CNET.com, and we're talking tech stories as well. How many, I don't know if I've asked you this, how many people work at CNET?
So we have, if you look at the editorial team, that means the reviews and the news team, we have something over 120, I think, at this point. So we're pretty large. If you compare us to other tech teams out there, right? For example, the Wall Street Journal, when I used to work there, they had about 20 people on their tech team. I think they've probably doubled it since then. The New York Times has grown their tech team, but it's still pretty small. Washington Post has gone up to about 20 from one just a few years ago. So it's really changed a lot how this industry works, but we're still one of the largest teams out there, and we're also one of the most comprehensive. We're reviewing refrigerators, and we're reviewing gas guns and all sorts of random stuff, and so we're actually offering much more than most people do, but as a result, you get a lot of insight into what this stuff can be.
Yeah, well, it's a great website, and it's very helpful, and you guys do a great job, and it's always great to talk to you.
You
mentioned the grill gun, and I do want to talk about that, and we'll do that.
I just love this thing. It's so cool.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about it. Ian Schur is with us, and he is an editor-at-large at CNET.com. We talk tech with him. They review great stuff and gadgets and all kinds of cool tech stuff. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. If you would like to join us, if you have a question or a comment, 312-981-7200. We're going to talk about the grill gun, which I might be a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, if I'm not mistaken. So 312-981-7200, more Tech Talk with Ian Scherer right here on 720 WGN, and the Nick DiGilio Show continues. DiGilio Show continues here on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline Studio here until 4. We'll have classic stand-up from The Tonight Show, The Johnny Carson Show, which you can watch every night on Antenna TV. We're going to the legendary David Brenner from 1983. And Max von Sydow passed away. He was 90 years old. He was a tremendous actor, and we're going to remember him, talk about him. Our good buddy Jim Ryan, music and entertainment writer for Forbes, The Daily Herald, and Chicago Now. He'll be here live in studio. We'll talk about some of the stuff that he's written about, concerts he's seen, and we'll play a little music trivia as well. Ian Scherer, editor-at-large, CNET.com, talks tech. Ian, people seem to be fascinated with this Amazon store thing.
Okay.
We just got a text.
I am, too.
We just got a text from 804 that says, how would you buy things that are weighed? Is everything prepackaged?
It is prepackaged, and that's one of the things that probably Amazon's going to have to figure out. Let's say that they were to go into take this technology to Whole Foods, which Amazon conveniently owns. What would that look like when you're in the produce aisle getting bags of spinach, which, by the way, the loose leaf spinach is the best way to buy spinach at Whole Foods, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But anyway, what you would have to do is they'd have to come up with some way to do that. Now, maybe what you do is that you bring it over to a little machine that weighs it and gives you a sticker, and then at that point, it automatically attaches that price to you. But these are things that Amazon's going to have to figure out. You know, even the bananas, some people, they often pick up a pair of bananas, and then like, oh, one of these is bad, throws it back on the rack. The Amazon Go stores, from what I remember, do not have a ton of produce like that that's easily kind of pick-upable. Most of the stuff is on a wall, just like a book. You grab it off the wall, the machine reads it automatically. So there are things that they're going to have to work out. But
yeah,
them selling this technology suggests that they really think that they've got an answer, and maybe they do, and we'll know in a few years.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's still in its infancy, you know what I mean? This is all new to a lot of people. People are going to have to get used to it. They're going to have to make changes and adapt, but the technology is pretty amazing.
Yeah, and I mean, it's, you know, at one point they're going to, it's probably going to go even further at some point, and it's going to work with our cars when we're parking in a parking lot and all sorts of stuff. I can imagine this stuff really starting to go. It's just about when they'll do that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We were talking about the grill gun. Tell us about the grill gun. You mentioned that in passing, but give us a review of that and tell us all about it.
Yeah. So I was practicing my Schwarzenegger impersonation earlier, but I don't think I pulled it off. The grill gun. So this is a really fascinating device. What it is basically a blowtorch that's shaped like a little handgun. And it, what you do is you attach this canister to it, and it puts out 400,000 BTUs. Now, for those of us who do not know what BTUs are, think of a normal gas engine when it's just finished taking from point A to point B. You open the hood, you feel the heat off of that thing. That's typically only about 125,000 BTUs, apparently. So this is three times that. normal household furnace is putting up out up to 80 BTUs. This is 400,000. And the whole point of this is that it's able to light your charcoal in 60 seconds,
wow,
which is normally, as for those of us who have tried, 15 to 30 minutes if you're lucky. So it's a really fascinating device, and it looks really fun. If you look at the photos we have on CNET, I mean,
I'm looking at,
want a little flamethrower, right?
I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it right now, and it looks nuts. It looks like
it does look nice. And by the way, the funny part about it is that apparently the manual that comes in the box warns people many times about how dangerous this thing can be, because of course you're dealing with something that is throwing off a ton of heat, and you can cause a lot of damage. For example, they don't recommend you ever use it indoors. Stuff like that is stuff you have to think about.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it certainly has an interesting look to it. What does it go for?
You know, it's $140, which mm-hmm. is a lot more than a normal just, you know, take your little lighter and try it on the charcoal. But if you're using this stuff all the time, or if you just want to have a lot of fun and be a little pyromaniac, hey, why not?
All right, just be a little pyromaniac. All right. Ian Schur, editor-at-large, CNET.com is with us. The Nick DiGilio Show continues. You also have a piece on CNET.com about 12 ways to blow your tax refund. So this is some fun stuff, right?
Yes, we could start with the glow gun.
Yeah, there you go.
But there are other ways as well. So, you know, one of the things that we try to do is that around tax time, of course, a lot of people get refunds, and, you know, sometimes they put them toward their bills or they buy some big thing that they've been looking for. But, you know, on top of the normal, like, hey, here's the best TV you could get for $400 or whatever, we also wanted to give you some fun ideas. So a lot of people don't think about it, but there's stuff like indoor skydiving, which can be really fun, and that can be as little as $60. You could actually get in a NASCAR car, and you can do that for $200 for 5 minutes, which is not a lot, but it is NASCAR, so you're going to go pretty far. Or it goes up to $2,000 if you want to really have fun. If you want to be like an astronaut, you can get in the Vomit Comet. You know about these things? How they train astronauts. They actually have them go in kind of the sinusoidal wave, up and then down and then up and then down in the airplane. And that's $5,400, but hey, you get to feel like you're in zero G, so why not?
Yeah, for $5,400, I'd rather not be in something called a Vomit Comet, but that's just me.
It's a story, right? The most expensive hurl you've ever done.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I've seen footage of this thing, and I wouldn't last 30 seconds in it. I can tell you that right now.
You know, I think it's really cool. I don't know if I'm trying to remember who it was. I think there was someone really famous a lot of famous people have been through it. But there, you know, there's just, it's really kind of interesting, especially when there's video out there of people who are disabled, like who have never been able to walk, and they suddenly get the experience of zero G, and it's just so amazing to watch because they feel this freedom that they never had before, and that's just so cool.
Yeah, no, it's fun, it's good. I just don't have $5,400 laying around. And by the way, this driving experience, the Richard Petty driving experience for $200, that seems pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's only 5 minutes for the $200, and it goes up from there. But, you know, the thing is, I think, is that what's happening now is that, you know, ever since the recession, a lot of companies have realized that people don't want to just buy a bunch of stuff and put it in their homes. They want to actually have these experiences, and that's what Groupon got really popular, right, out in Chicago, was doing these kind of experience-based things. And a lot of companies have latched onto that and found ways to be able to slice and dice time and figure it out so that we all can have, like, real human interesting experiences. And in some cases, that's super cool, and I think that's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going through more ways you can blow your tax refund. Tell us about the TCL 65-inch 6 Series 4K Roku TV.
Yeah, so that's a mouthful, right?
It is.
So TCL is a Chinese company. They make they're a very popular TV company these days. And part of the reason they're popular is that people like CNET ourselves have labeled them the best value for your money that you're going to be able to buy. These TVs are spectacular for what they do. And typically, you're going to end up getting a TV. It's not the highest end, right, but you're not paying $2,000. And what you're going to get is a really solid TV. They go for anywhere, especially these mid-range ones, from $400 to $800. And they are just great. I actually bought one on CNET's recommendation. David Katzmeier is our TV guru. He's been doing it for decades. And that guy knows everything about TVs more than I ever knew. And I will tell you, I'm really happy with it. It's the first upgrade I've done in over 10 years. And I think I'm going to be able to hold on to it for another 10. So I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, it's very cool. And it's so the one that you guys talk about here, it's a very big flat screen, and it goes for $700, which that's not a terrible price for a big 65-inch.
It's not. And what I've learned from David talking to me many hours, because of course I just went for him for information all the time, was that a lot of the cheaper TVs often have parts in them that are going to go bad quicker. And really about these mid-range TVs from TCL is that you're going to get a pretty good TV. The quality of the image is great, but also you can rely on the technology inside more, is what he's told us from his reviews. Mm-hmm. He also really likes the Roku software in it. So if you haven't experienced Roku, it's very much like Apple TV, but it's by a different company. And what it does is allows you to install all these apps to be able to watch, like Disney Plus and all these other things. And it's really easy to use. You know, my parents-in-law, who are not technophiles at all, they probably prefer to be Luddites, but they have to live with me sometimes,
yeah,
is that they were able to pick it up real quick and learn how to use it. And I think that's the best part about it, is that we're getting to a point now where technologies actually just pick up and go. And, you know, for someone like me who's had a multifunction remote for years and, you know, 16,000 buttons on it, my wife would always curse my name. Now we just have a very simple remote, push the power button, and go on. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've got a Roku TV, and it's really very cool.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and I think it's going to be, we're going to see more of that stuff, because smart TVs, it's no longer just kind of throw a kind of basic app on there and let it go. These companies have realized that they have to really step it up, and TCL has made themselves stand out. And again, when, you know, these high awards from us and other people, because they've been able to pair that software with the hardware really well. And I think it's going to force other companies to up their game.
Yeah. All right. Ian Schur is with us, editor-at-large at CNET.com. Everything that we're talking about, you can see written up on the website at CNET.com. And we have more. I want to talk more about this. You know, we have more ways to blow your tax refund, too. And I want to get into that a little bit more, too. Ian Schur is with us. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. If you would like to join us, if you have questions or comments, text or call at 312-981-7200. More Tech Talk with Ian Schur right here on 720 WGN.
They will be falling like rain.
Nick DiGilio Show continues right here on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here until 4 a.m. Jim Ryan, music and entertainment writer for Forbes, Daily Herald, and Chicago Now, is going to join us. He joins us usually once a month. Max von Sydow passed away. We'll remember him. We've got our classic stand-up from The Tonight Show, The Johnny Carson Show, which you can watch on Antenna TV every night. David Brenner from 1983, legendary stuff. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Ian Schur is with us, editor-at-large at CNET.com. You can follow him at Ian Schur, that's I-A-N-S-H-E-R-R. Ian, we've been talking about the article that you guys put together, 12 Ways to Blow Your Tax Refund. And let's see, the next one is the Alienware Aurora R8 gaming computer.
Yeah, and part of it has been that, you know, if you are into gaming and you are looking for a device that you can really rely upon for virtual reality and all this new stuff, Alienware has actually been putting together a lot of devices that we have been giving good reviews to lately. And it's really interesting because there are a lot of companies out there who make computers, of course, and try to sell them. And one of the things that we really liked was that this device really kind of, or this computer rather, really took anything that we threw at it. And considering that it's something that's easily put together, you don't have to build your own computer, you just buy it and go, that was a really good choice. So that's why we liked it.
Oh, okay. And
yeah, pretty easy.
The easier the better as far as I'm concerned. What about Dreamcade Vision? It is a 32 multi-game arcade machine, which is about $2,900.
Yeah, so this is something that I've been noticing a lot of, is that these arcade machines are getting are becoming the thing to have for people who want to put something in their basement. And it's been a really interesting thing. I saw a ton of them over the holidays being sold, often with just two or three games. This has many, many more in it. And part of what is going on is that there's kind of this resurgence of people who really want to bring back the old days of the arcade and have fun. And these companies are jumping into it. And it's a pretty cool idea. You know, I've played with a couple of them. Some of them are made well, some of them aren't, so you have to be careful. We've done a couple of reviews of them, including the Dreamcade. So just make sure if you decide, well, this one doesn't have the games I want, but there's another one that does, make sure it's gotten good reviews, because some of them are made kind of shoddy, and then the buttons don't work the way you want them to, and the D-pad doesn't work, and then your dreams of being the kingpin of the arcade fall apart.
Yeah. Ian Schur, editor-at-large with CNET.com. We're talking tech, and what about the Oculus Quest 64 GB VR headset? That's a mouthful, too.
It is. So the Oculus Quest is actually, we have labeled it last year, one of the coolest devices we touched. And one of the reasons for this thing is that, you know, they've been talking about virtual reality forever. This technology is supposed to change the way that we use our computers and the way that we interact with each other. And the way it works is that it puts a screen in front of your eyes so close that your brain is actually tricked into believing that you are in the virtual world that you are seeing. And it's really cool. You can deep sea dive with a blue whale, or you can be in a space battle, all sorts of stuff. So, but one of the biggest complaints about it up until now was that you needed a really beefy computer like that Alienware Aurora, which probably weighs 50 pounds, just to be able to power one of these VR headsets. You had to have a wire plugged into it. It was really annoying. Oculus Quest fixes that. It's a device that can run a lot of high-quality games, not all of them, a lot of them, and it's completely wireless. It's all self-contained, so you just have the hand controllers, which are wireless as well, and then you put it on your head. There's no extra wires. You set it up in your home, and you go, and it's one of my favorite little devices to bring to a party because inevitably someone is having a ton of fun with it, and that's really good.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, and it's not very expensive either.
No, it's not, and I think that's what's interesting is that all of the, you know, we're starting to learn that for virtual reality to really succeed, it needs to be in the $200 to $400 range, and the Oculus Quest, I think it starts at $300, and that's just, it seems to be a good sweet spot for a lot of these devices, is to figure out, okay, you know, let's offer them something that feels very similar to buying an Xbox or a PlayStation. People are used to those kind of prices, and they'll jump in at it, and so far it seems as though it's been pretty successful.
Okay. What about the Sonos Move, which is for multi-room sound systems?
Yeah, so if you don't know Sonos, these are a bunch of sound devices that are really popular because they talk to each other. So instead of having to have a speaker system where you've got a ton of wires all over your home, you invest in these Sonos devices that talk to each other so that you just have them wirelessly talk to each other. So instead of having a satellite thing that has a bunch of wires, you just put it on the edge of your room, and suddenly, boom, you've got satellite noise coming from a speaker like that. So this is pretty cool. It's very popular. A lot of my friends have done this. And this move is particularly popular because what's interesting about it is that it allows you to move it around your home, but it doesn't require any power. It's all self-contained. It's got a battery in it. And we really liked it. We thought it was an interesting idea. You know, the Sonos technology, while it has been questioned, you know, there was a little bit of drama over how they handle older Sonos devices and whether or not they force you to upgrade over time. Generally speaking, a lot of people are really big fans of Sonos. So when they get involved, it's pretty cool. And by the way, you don't just have to buy from Sonos. IKEA sells Sonos devices as well. A bunch of other people have gotten into it. So this is a whole kind of ecosystem of stuff if you want to get into it. But it isn't cheap. That's the tough part.
Yeah, that's true. All right, the one thing I wanted to get in here is that you actually, in the article, have a $100 mug.
The Ember. This is a very divisive device. So this has been around for a while now, and what it does is that it's a ceramic mug that has a heating element at the bottom of it. Pretty simple. We've actually torn it apart on CNET. We've taken a bunch of scissors to it and a saw, and we've shown you what's inside. But what's really magical about it is that you set it down on that little heating element, and bada bing, it will heat your food, your drink warm, and even it'll keep it warm a little bit after you take it off the heating element. And we have really given it good reviews. They also make, by the way, a traveler mug that we were pretty big fans of. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those things that if you are attached all day with your lips to coffee, this is one of those devices that could really make your life a little better.
Yeah, and the charging pad is wireless, correct?
Yes, it is wireless. So that's also it's really cool. You just kind of set it down just like it's a coaster. And I think that's what's really smart about them. And then, of course, they have an app if you want to play around with it and do all sorts of other stuff. But the real secret sauce is how easy this is, right? You have the mug, you fill it with your coffee, you put it on the pad, bada bang, it still stays warm an hour later. And for that, a lot of people love it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know people who drink coffee all day long, and all night long, because my producer, Tom, drinks coffee throughout the entire show, and we're on for 5 hours. So
there you go.
Yeah, maybe you should get this, Tom. You should get the
the tumbler. Our reviewer, by the way, first saw the tumbler. So the mug is $100. The tumbler is $150. When our reviewer first saw the tumbler, he thought this is the most ridiculous thing in the world. $150 for a little tumbler? You got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
But then when he was done with it, and he was done writing the review and writing about how stupid it was, he then noticed that he really missed it when he stopped using it.
Yeah.
So he had to change his review and say, you know what? I actually kind of like it.
I used to drink. I haven't had coffee in years. I quit caffeine many, many years ago. And but I used to drink a lot of coffee. I think this is actually pretty cool for someone who consumes a lot of coffee. And I know a lot of people who do.
It definitely can be.
Yeah. All right, Ian. It's always a pleasure. Editor at large at CNET.com. People can follow you on Twitter at Ian Schur. Right.
Yep, and I'm also obviously always on CNET.
Always on CNET. What are you guys working on now?
Well, actually, we have a whole series of stories that we did last week about what it's like, what life is going to be like when we finally get to Mars.
Oh.
So we actually talked about like what it's going to be like for the first people living there, how do we make it sustainable, what's the trip like, all sorts of stuff. And then, of course, some people saying, you know what, if Elon Musk wants to be the first person on Mars, let him do it. And then this week we're doing a whole thing on the password and how the future of the password is either better or worse or then whatever.
Right.
And looking at all the different technologies people are trying to invent, including like brainwave technology and all this type of stuff, so we don't have to enter in stupid codes anymore. So there's a lot of really cool stuff we're doing all the time, but especially this week.
Okay. CNET.com. Ian, thanks, man.
Thanks for having me.
There you go. Ian Schur, editor at large at CNET.com. Check out CNET.com for all your tech needs.